I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
This episode is brought to you by Kiva, a Greenhorns partner and nonprofit that has helped hundreds of farmers raise over $2 million in microloans, all without charging any interest or fees. Find out more at us.kiva.org/greenhorns.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greenhorns, this is Greenhorns Radio, radio for young farmers, by young farmers. We are very happy to be newly sponsored by Kiva, previously known as Kiva Zip. We were working with them in doing loans, and now they are Kiva Integrated, Kiva Total, Kiva all the same. Anyway, I'm sure my branding is all off, but good thing that Johnny Price is here to set us straight. Johnny is the Englishman with the plan who... Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you, Severin. Maybe stick to the day job. I'm not sure if a new career direction of rebranding is quite going to work out for you just yet.
I agree with you completely. So do you want to just give a little layout of what Kiva is, and then we can go from there?
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today. My name is Johnny Price. I lead Kiva's U.S. lending program, and we're proud to sponsor this program and proud for many years now of partnership with Severin and the Greenhorns and young farmers throughout America. Kiva's a nonprofit. We're based here in San Francisco. And we make loans to small business owners, farmers, artisans all around the world. Since 2005, when we were founded, we've made 2 million loans in 80 countries around the world. And the unique part of the lending model is that the loans are what we call crowdfunded by a community of 1.5 million lenders on our website. And so we might make a loan to a farmer in Uganda, and lend her $500, and that $500 will come from 20 individual people like you and me, each lending $25. And then over time, as she repays that $500 loan, you get your $25 back, and then you can re-lend it to help someone else, maybe this time a seamstress in Guatemala, or maybe a barbershop in inner city Detroit, or maybe a young farmer in rural California. And Kiva was, when we first launched, we were lending primarily internationally. But in 2011, I came to Kiva and launched this Kiva Zip program that Severin mentioned. And since then, we've been supporting small business owners, farmers, entrepreneurs here in the United States as well.
Oh, so now you're now all the same Kiva.
We are Kiva all the same, yeah. So Kiva.org is the website, K-I-V-A is the website, and Kiva Zip is now part of Kiva. And this is really cool, I think, for our brand because, you know, it used to be that they were separated. Now it's really positioned as we're supporting entrepreneurs throughout the globe. And you can be a lender on Kiva if you live in California, or you can be a lender on Kiva if you live in Cambodia. And you can be a borrower who's benefiting from our Kiva loans if you live in Africa or if you live here in America.
So most of our audience are actually young agrarians. And so in when you're marketing, you can know that you're marketing to people who might be interested in getting loans. Can you maybe compare how much better it is to do Kiva than to do traditional banking, especially people who are in our demographic, many of them wildly suspicious of debt and afraid of debt and debt suspicious? Go for it.
Yeah, so I think that one of the things we're really trying to do at Kiva and with this Kiva US program especially is to reimagine a finance system that's based on human relationships and connections between people rather than numerical transactions and greed. And so there's a number of ways in which we try to do that. The obvious one that I mentioned earlier is that when you get a loan from a bank, the money is coming from one impersonal financial institution that's looking to make money. But on Kiva, when you get a loan, your loan is coming from hundreds of people that are each lending in very small increments of maybe $25 here and there. And so they are looking to help you out, to help you invest in your farm, to grow your farm, to get started. And the motivation is one of people helping people. They're not looking to make money. In fact, they don't earn any rate of interest. As a borrower, you pay zero interest on your Kiva loan. And so it really is a community of people helping people. And our aspiration and vision for this program is that not only are you getting an interest-free loan for your farm, but you're also getting, let's say you get funded by 300 people, that's 300 supporters and champions for your business. And maybe they might like your Facebook page, or they might connect with you on LinkedIn. They might make a useful connection for you that opens up a new revenue opportunity. They might give you some advice. Or they might just send you an encouraging message of support. And for us, the vision is so much more than we're just making loans, but is really that in doing so, we're strengthening community between those 1.5 million lenders and the millions of entrepreneurs that we're crowdfunding here. The last thing, Severin, that really distinguishes, I think, Kiva from other more conventional lenders like banks is how we underwrite loans, how we choose to make loans. We look at conventional lenders are usually looking at how much money is in your bank account, what's your credit score, let's have a look at your financial statements. We don't do any of that. We're really trying to make loans based on someone's character rather than their credit score. And so the way we do that is we try to assess the strength of a farmer's network. So before we post you publicly on the Kiva website, we ask you to kind of put some skin in the game and go to your network and recruit a small number, usually about 15 people, to lend you $25 on Kiva. And once you get to 15, then we put you publicly, and then you can be visible to all of those 1.5 million lenders around the world. We're finding this is a really powerful way to do lending. It's kind of how lending used to work. If you've ever watched the film It's a Wonderful Life, the loans were based on the standing of the farmer or the small business owner in their community. And so we're trying to get back to that character-based lending. And we're finding that in doing this, we're seeing really good repayment rates. It's allowing us to reach people that might not have a perfect credit score. And obviously it's helping us out because then as a small business owner that's benefiting from a Kiva loan, you're helping us by recruiting 15 new people to the Kiva movement. And when you repay your loan to them, then our hope is that they will relend that $25 and help another farmer, maybe here in the US or maybe on the other side of the world. So that's just some of the ways that we're trying to be a good lender and reimagine a finance system that's based on people.
Well, and just thinking about all the money that comes in to your Kiva system and start flowing around and around and around in the small businesses, and it comes in, it goes out, it comes in, it goes out, it comes in, which, by the way, is a big thing in the Amish communities, too, is a quarter of a in Pennsylvania, they do 0.25% lending, and it's been a critical factor in the success of Amish agriculture and their total domination of Lancaster County and spreading and paying much more than others can afford to pay to settle out young farmers and help them cash flow the beginnings of their dairy herds. But just to imagine this kind of alternative economy growing and growing and growing, cycling and cycling and cycling. One thing I remember you telling me was that the people who lend to our young farmers are very likely to keep the money flowing through the system.
That's right. Like, hardly anyone ever takes the money out of Kiva. And thanks to you and your great recommendations. And I should say that our partnership with the Greenhorns goes back to April 11th, 2012. I'm looking at here, Seth. And over that time, you've recommended 16 farmers to get loans with Kiva. All of them are paying back on time. And you've unlocked $115,000 of zero interest capital in your community. So thank you very much for the partnership. And we hope that, you know, together we can support more young farmers throughout the country. But, you know, your repayment rate there is actually unexceptional. We found if we look at all of the industries that we make loans in, so we also make loans to restaurants, to daycare centers, to plumbers, to mechanics, et cetera, the repayment rate that we have among farmers is actually the highest of any industry. And so that's one of the reasons why we're really excited to support more farmers throughout the country, because if that repayment rate is high, then our lenders, those 1.5 million people, are going to keep on getting their $25 back and keep on re-lending it to help more and more people around the world on Kiva. And just one example of that, I just became a dad. Severin, I don't think you know this, but I proudly became the father of Felicity Grace. She was born 5 weeks ago, so she's very young and very, very cute. And I created a Kiva account for her on her second day on this planet, and I set it up with a $25 monthly subscription. So every month it's automatically taking $25 from my account and putting it into her Kiva account. And I calculated that if she lives until she's 83 years old, and she just keeps on relending the repayments as they come in, she just keeps on recycling, and every month she's putting another $25 in, by the time she gets to 83 years old, she'll have made $1 million of loans on Kiva just by making $25 of deposits every month. And I thought that was a really cool and powerful example of the kind of, you know, the cycling effect of this community.
It's amazing. And, you know, just practically, you know, we get people inquiring occasionally. We put out the green cards on our events. I just actually found another box of green cards. I'm going to go out. They're going to go out in New Mexico at the Better Day Coffee Shop for our exhibit during the months-long Hourland exhibit and the Biodynamic Conference and the Kivira Coalition Conference. So maybe we'll get some dry land applicants. But basically, if we don't know you within our core team of Greenhorns, then we'll try and find a group that do know you or your mentors or your neighbors or an organization or Farmers Market Institute or Farmers Market Manager who does know your reputation and good chops. And then we become a trustee. I or they or we or someone becomes a trustee, and you fill out, you know, a few paragraphs of information about what you're doing and why and where and what the impacts will be both ecologically and socially and for your business. And then you get the loan, and it funds. You tell your people about it. They fund you. It goes into the Kiva. It comes out to you, no 0%. And then how long do you have to repay the loan, and how does that work, Johnny?
Yeah, so the loan terms are, it's a $10,000 loan is the maximum you can apply for, at least for now, and you can pay it back over 3 years, and it's monthly repayments. And one thing I'll flag, because we love farmers so much and because the borrowers, our farmer borrowers, have a higher repayment, the highest repayment rate of any industry. We offer grace periods, a six-month grace period for farmers, for no other industry, but we offer it for farmers. And so that means you have 6 months after you get the loan before you have to make your first monthly payment. And if you do the math, if you divide $10,000 by 36 months, then you get about $277 every month. And you don't need to worry about any interest rate. There's no fees. You borrow $10,000. You pay back exactly $10,000.
This episode is brought to you by Kiva, a nonprofit that helps farmers grow their businesses by providing access to 0% interest capital up to $10,000, crowdfunded by Kiva's community of 1.5 million supportive lenders around the world. Here to talk about Kiva is Yanni Bunch from the Farmer Veteran Coalition.
Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit that works with military veterans going into farming. Farmer Veteran Coalition is a trustee on Kiva, meaning we endorse our farmers for their loans. Farmer Veteran Coalition works with Kiva because Kiva provides a great opportunity for our farmers to have access to 0% interest capital to grow their businesses. In the past, we have endorsed farmers such as Joel, who purchased an overhead feed bin so he could pay bulk prices for his cattle feed as opposed to store prices, and Amanda, who purchased a new greenhouse.
If you are interested in applying for a Kiva loan, the process is quick and easy. The typical application takes less than an hour to complete and doesn't require uploading any financial statements. Farmers have a 98% success rate on Kiva, and on average, each farmer's loan is funded by over 140 lenders from Kiva's community. To find out more, visit us.kiva.org/greenhorns. That's us.kiva.org/greenhorns.
So this is very useful, and we hope that people will continue to use it, and we are hoping that there'll be more good new economy initiatives coming out of the boomtown of Silicon Valley in San Francisco, and that we'll have a small as beautiful approach to job creation and land-based enterprise and people starting businesses to solve real problems in their communities. And then, of course, as young farmers, most of us are tuned into buying the inputs that we use from the kinds of businesses that support the values that we... This is basically the only time of year when young farmers have money to burn. And so, you know, it's not generally a problem to train them and to train anybody into better consumption habits. But probably some of our listeners, you know, could be reminded slightly of the critical importance to shop locally and in the small as beautiful kinds of ways. Do you have other groups that you know about that are also experimenting in these kinds of alternative capital access ways, or other kind of partners that you want to talk about?
So we tend to partner with more conventional, larger lenders, usually nonprofit lenders. Because our loans are capped at $10,000, and sometimes people will obviously need more money than that. And so we're developing more and more partnerships with nonprofit lenders throughout the country, but organizations like Main Street Launch. We don't have that many formal relationships with the FSA or the USDA at this stage, but hopefully over time we'll develop kind of more relationships like that. There was a great lender called Community Source Capital up in Seattle who were doing larger loans, but I think they've been slowing down recently. But that's very much one of the aims that we have on this team. You know, is like I mentioned before, we're trying to strengthen our farmers' social capital as well as their financial capital. We want to make loans and help them financially, but we also want to help them by making connections and giving them advice and expertise And so sometimes some of those connections might be, okay, this farmer's paid back their $10,000 Kiva loan. Now, if they need more capital from another kind of innovative lender that you mentioned, we can help them make that connection and get them set up for, you know, the next investment that they need.
Well, and if they want to get an FSA loan, which is Farm Security Administration or Farm Service Agency, it began as the Farm Security Administration and it turned into the Farm Service Agency, but they are, is an outcome of the Great Depression with the goal to make capital available to small farmers so that they could diversify and treat their land better and not make dust, and also aimed at tenant farmers becoming land owners. So a very progressive distributive capital tactic of the federal government. Anyway, so FSA still makes loans, and especially loans to small beginning minority farmers, and they have what's called the microloan that, in my opinion, was hastened into being by Kiva coming along and showing them up. But those,
I'll take the credit for that, Severin. I'll gladly take the credit for bringing the FSA microloan program into being.
Yes,
I think you might be flattering us there.
Well, we can let's just be happy. No one needs the credit. We got what we needed. And
no pun intended.
No. And but you can, you know, you can show your Kiva loan as evidence of your good credit rating. And so especially, you know, when people are trying to manage their student loan debts and get involved in capitalizing a small farm and managing a small family and navigating land access lease formalities and trying to figure out, you know, path to market and value added and regulatory frameworks and food safety. You know, taking it in a baby step is a good move. And I think also, you know, even beyond Kiva, becoming through Kiva empowered, and I have recognized that social investment and having people kind of buy into your farm or your project, in my case, activism, is much bigger than dollars and donations. Or, you know, it really is like, who do you know? Where are the folding chairs? Who has the graphic designer? You know, who has a van? And recognizing how our interface point is so much more than dollars.
That's our new marketing slogan, Kiva, financing and folding chairs.
Well,
I like that.
I take it back.
You do have a future in branding, after all.
Oh, dear.
Hey, but one thing, just to kind of abstract to a high level, I love what you said about the FSA starting up and kind of expanding credit for people in the aftermath of the Great Depression, when obviously there was a big credit crunch, and the government helped to try to get around that with the New Deal. Like, that is what we're trying to do today. We see a finance system which over the last few decades is increasingly penalizing people that are kind of lower income or, like, you know, are not already rich. And it's like it's becoming easier and easier to get money if you're rich and cheaper and cheaper. And if you're not coming from vast wealth, then it's becoming harder and harder to access credit, and it's becoming more and more expensive to do so. And so that's the kind of big picture problem that we're trying to solve here, is how can we help the little guy, the, you know, not the Tyson farms, not the huge kind of industrial mechanical farming complexes. They can access credit very cheaply through a variety of ways. Like, we're trying to help Bennett in Shelburne Falls, you know, we're trying to help the little guy and make it a little bit easier for them, both with interest-free financing and with folding chairs. Actually, I wanted to touch on, I brought Bennett's loan page up.
Yeah.
What's that, Severin?
Well, I know Bennett was buying strawberries. I know that Paula was buying piglets. I know there's been stuff about a new boat. I know there's been for seaweed. I know there's a lot of greenhouse and walk-in cooler. But maybe
Bennett was a cool example because I just brought up her two loan pages. She borrowed a $5,000 loan for her Mosaic Farm in Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. And as you say, firstly, her $5,000 loan was to acquire the most critical startup needs: seeds, plants, irrigation, implements, tools, fertilizer, and market supplies. And that $5,000 loan was vouched for by the Greenhorns and powered by 171 lenders on Kiva from around the world. And then after Benef paid that $5,000 loan back, she then took out a $10,000 loan, and that was powered by 331 lenders. And so between those two loans, she's been funded by over 500 individual lenders that are now supporters of her Mosaic Farm up there in Massachusetts. And I just wanted to give that as a tangible example of you know, what we're trying to do here and what a young farmer like Beneth might use this money for.
We look forward to many more such good success stories and encourage people who are interested to learn more to reach out to us at Greenhorns, and you'll talk to Inez, who manages that, or you can also probably call the people who got the loans and call them in the evening, but not too late, and ask them how it went for them. And, you know, if you have further thoughts about how we could do a better job at binding those humans together, or I don't know. I think that there's another phase that could come forward from here, and I don't exactly know how it's going to go, but it does seem like that the cluster of humans that are associating might have other collaborative functions. You know, one of the things that we talk about with land access is cooperative finance opportunities, and how many people who live in cities and love farms and love food and love landscapes might be inclined to come camping on a farm every once in a while and might be interested to invest something like $5,000 or $10,000 for the right to be a holiday person on a farm. And if you imagine that you have 50 weekends a year and you have, say, 50 share members of your CSA, it's not hard to imagine being able to buy the field next door as it comes up for sale using the goodwill and interest and commitment and kind of holiday money of people who might otherwise spend it on a hotel and airfare. So anyway, that's kind of an area that I'm interested to explore, is how do we bring cooperative finance to hold not only the enterprise but also the land that's so critical for our local food system. You heard it here first, Johnny.
I love it. Why you introduced me to the Terre de Lien conference concept. I'm sure I'm butchering the pronunciation there, but I think that was at the Slow Money conference in Louisville back in, was that 2014? So, yeah, I just am a huge admirer of everything you do, Severin, and your focus on community. And that's what we're trying to do for finance. And, you know, we're a relatively young program. We're only 5 years old lending in the U.S. And so we're still figuring out both how to do the financing part and how to do the folding shares. But we have I think it's a really exciting vision. And we're proud to be partnering with you as we chase after it.
We're proud. We're happy. We're thankful. We're doing it. We're committed. And let's keep doing it well. And yeah. Anybody else who wants to get involved as a Kiva trustee, can't they just call you?
Yeah, they can. I just wanted to kind of end by showing people how they can sign up. So there's a website, us.kiva.org/greenhorns. That's us.kiva.org/greenhorns. And if you go there, if you're interested in learning more about the loans and starting an application, you can do that there. And then if anyone listening wants to learn more about Kiva or how to partner with us or just has more questions and wants a friendly face or a friendly voice to talk to, then they can email me personally. Anyone listening, anyone in this community is where we want to be. So my email is jonny@kiva.org. J-O-N-N-Y, Johnny@kiva.org. And, really, really hoping that we can keep working together to support small young farmers throughout the country.
Yeah, Donnie, thank you. And anybody who happens to be related to a philanthropy, I know that there's philanthropies that do go matching loans and accelerating how quickly loans fund. So that's another avenue that we could mention. And everybody, keep in touch. Next week is going to be more radio, and we'll have excerpts from the Hourland Symposium coming up online. Thank you for your support of Greenhorns. We needed it, and we're thankful that we had it. Okay. Bye, Johnny.
Bye. Great chatting with you.
You rock. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.